Jesus and that name that is above every other name, in that name that ticks off all the worlders and makes them lose their less than intelligent minds, because, you know, honestly, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So if you don't have that in operation in your life, your IQ and your EQ and your spiritual IQ is much lower than it should be. And I don't say that in an insulting way. I just say that in a factual way, because that is the reality of what life is. When you walk with Christ, you're connected to the source of all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth, which is what the world needs, which is what sets people free. You know, we just came through. Thank you guys for that check-in on the site regularly. And, you know, I tell you, you guys knew before we did that we had had a couple site issues come up recently. We first time we've been had an attack from Russia, so that's new. And but hey, the site is up again and is going. And you know, listen, just as a way that you know, we all work together with this. You know, you guys are welcome to download anything and everything that is up on FaithMix, and you guys are welcome to use that information to, you know, and you, as far as, you know, you can take it, but within context. Please don't splice my voice and mix and match it to other things. So don't do that. That's not acceptable. But if you want to take these audios and you want to download them, you want to, I know some people out there, you've gone and put them on you know, YouTube videos and added imagery and stuff like that, you know. If you want to rebroadcast these, by all means, feel free to take the information that's here, download it, keep it for yourself, circulate it to other people, put it up on your own sites. That's fine. No issue with that. Because, you know, the thing is too, is that, you know, the way that the world is going, Lord willing, you know, we'll keep doing the part that He's got for us to do with this specific thing. But, you know, honestly, just like we just had happen recently, you know, this could go away. And, you know, and at that point, hey, it is what it is. So we do our part in obedience, but, you know, don't assume that all things are just going to keep going as they have been. And, you know, so take that for what it's worth. Maximize the window that you have, use what you have, and use it well, because, you know, we know that we've got an enemy out there that's very upset that we do what we do. Oh gosh, if you guys knew the stuff that the team and I go through, you know, to bring this to you, and the attacks that we get from the people that, you know, they really just hate Jesus. You know, it's amazing to me how people have such a hard time with Jesus. You know, I mean, they don't have that kind of a hard time with Buddha. They don't have that kind of a hard time with Muhammad. They don't have that kind of a hard time with Krishna. They don't have that kind of a hard time with Vishnu. They don't have that kind of a hard time with... you just go down the list. But when the name of Jesus comes up, when the King of Kings comes up, people have a problem. And they do everything that they can when they're on that side, when they're on the side of the devil, to just either they want to make him one of the boys and make him part of the club, or they want to just get rid of him entirely. Okay, you know, I had a request from Haiti from some people that are listening from Haiti that sent some things to, they had a few questions, and, you know, I thought it's worthwhile to actually discuss this, you know, broader, you know, we'll discuss it here, because, you know, with regards to some things that are important, on from the apologetic side of our faith, you know, for, you know, when it comes to our understanding of where certain things come from in the world that we live in, so that you know, you have an accurate knowledge of sort of how, you know, where we are right now when it comes to being in time. Now, see here, we are eternal beings, right? You are somebody when you're following Christ. You're somebody that has tapped in to the spiritual reality and the spiritual truth of who you are. You've shifted from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, from a time-bound past and future reality to an eternal being that is in I Am. But you're still here in time, living out the mystery of God. But you're living it now as an eternal being, connected to the source. So life is flowing through you. And as you live as somebody that is connected to the source, you're also living, you know, in a world that is blinded by the enemy. And in the blindness that they have within them, they have a hard time receiving that truth because they don't have a heart for truth. Now you, on the other hand, because you have a heart for truth, the truth can be made known to you. You know, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. And if you knock, the door's open. So if you ask for the truth, you're going to get the truth. If you seek the truth, you're going to find the truth. If you knock on the door of truth, on the door of knowledge, on the door of understanding, and you ask God and you're looking for that, if you knock, the door is open. And so, you know, so with that, you know, what happens is the worlders oftentimes try very hard to pollute your understanding and to confuse your mind. And the problem here, this is where the problem comes for a lot of Christians, is the problem for a lot of Christians is because they don't know the truth, and they've been, in a lot of cases, they've been around or accepted a compromised gospel, or seeker-friendly gospel, or something that tickles. They surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Because they've gone through that process, then when it comes to actually now, their faith gets questioned. They struggle with that because they're not on that foundation of truth. Okay, for example. You know, I was this video that a friend sent me was trying to compare, you know, all these different myths from around the world, and you know, and all these different historical different things, and trying to contrast them to Jesus and what happened with Jesus, and then trying to use that to say, basically, you know, there's all these other things that are out there that are contrasted, and, you know, it's this similar narrative. Now, here's the thing. If you go back and trace in scriptures, there's something very interesting that, and I haven't heard it talked about from the pulpit, you know, much. But when you go back to Genesis chapter 6, which talks about the destruction of the earth and the flood, and what kind of was happening and what was going on before, if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And he gives the dimensions, and he goes on, and he says what he's going to do with the flood and everything that's going to happen. Now, if you go forward from there, so this is the destruction of what was going on in the earth before. Now Noah also had three sons. After the flood, you end up, subsequently, you end up dealing with the situation that comes with the Tower of Babel. And now, the thing that happened with and that actually goes on with the descendants. Genesis chapter 10, and I want to go forward a little bit now after the flood. Now, these are the generations of the son of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphah, and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elshar, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Halviah, and Shebeth, and Rama, and Shabtichan. And the sons of Ramah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Kesh begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore he is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Ilric, and Asclad, and Calhan in the land of Shinar. Okay, now, here's the thing. I know sometimes these are those kind of sections in the Bible where people just sort of jump through really quick, and they're like, what do these genealogies mean, and what are they all about? All right, here's the main point. Nimrod is a character that is, in understanding the world and the world system, it's important for the follower of Christ to understand this guy. See, all right, Nimrod was pivotal, was central in establishing and setting up the Tower of Babel, the Babylonian, the Babylonian mystery religion goes back to him. Now, Nimrod ended up marrying his mom and, doing all kinds of craziness there. Now, here's the thing. God at the Tower of Babel, if you guys remember the story, God, what did he do there when he decided to come down and to judge that situation? Well, he confused their languages. Right? Right. He confused their languages. That's where you get the whole term Babel, is, relating to language. He confused their languages. So, what happened? Now, what also happened to Nimrod? Well, Nimrod, because of his corruption and because of the evil that he was about, he was actually killed by by Shem, by one of the sons of Noah, and he was cut into a bunch of pieces. And of the pieces that were there, they couldn't find all the pieces of him. There was one piece that was missing in the end. But the thing about Nimrod was that, you know, with him, when all of these people, when the languages were confused and they were scattered, and these people now went all throughout the earth, when they went all over the world, what did they do? Well, they now referred to that founding person of their mystery religion in different names. So when you go all over the world and you have around the world in different places, in different countries, and they refer to, so you have Gilgamesh and you have Apollo and you have you have Ra, you know, as part of Isis and Ra, again, mother and child. You just go anywhere in the world that you go, you will find representations of that Babylonian mystery occult religion. And they have all these different names. Now, why do they have all these different names? Because they trace it back to that person who was part of the Antichrist. Now, here's the thing. He is a type of Antichrist, a type of Luciferian, a type of somebody that is given over to the demonic, given over to the world system, demonic things working in and through him. And in that process of him doing what he did, that entire narrative that was related to him at the time, when his followers, when their languages were confused, they took that story all over the world. All right, let me give you an example. You can see this probably anywhere in the world. You can probably see the building structures like this. Okay, a big part of the Babylonian system is the worship of the phallus. Or the penis. And whenever you start looking when they conduct their religious worship and or their political structures, you can see this time and time and time again. So, you know, if you're traveling through India, how many times do you look around and you see the something that's representing the phallus, the lingam, and people are worshiping that. You travel around America. If you go to Washington, D.C., what do you see there? What is the Washington Monument? The Washington Monument is 555 feet above ground, 111 feet below ground, 666 feet total. Hello. For a monument. Right there in your face, phallus, relating to Babylonian mystery religion. You come to the city where I'm in right now, Lincoln, Nebraska, and you look, and the Capitol building is, you know, the nickname for the Capitol building in the state of Nebraska, something that people call it? They call it the prick of the prairie, or the penis of the plains. I mean, because that's what it looks like. If you drive, you get this flat state, and then you drive and you start coming towards the city, and that's what you see. Where does that come from? All over the world. You can travel the world and you'll see this over and over and over again. Where does it come from? Well, it goes all the way back to the Bible. It goes all the way back to Nimrod. It goes all the way back to this Antichrist setup. So that's why too, like somebody sent me this video and the person that had done their research was talking about, you know, a few different things, you know, in history, historical, you know, connections to these stories. And actually, he's got to come up with about 60 more characters. Because, I mean, it's a good start, but understanding that Jesus is the original. And the rest of these are counterfeits. See, one thing too, all right, look, Jesus was not born on December 25th. All right? I have to put this out there for some of you guys, because I know a lot of people, you haven't been taught. Okay. Scripturally, how do you know this? Well, okay, in scriptures, when the scriptures talk about the birth of Christ, it talks about the shepherds being in the fields that night. And they were surrounded all of a sudden by a host of heaven. And all the angels were singing praises to God and declaring to the shepherds in the field what was going on. Now, shepherds do not take their flocks into the field on December 25th. It's winter at that time. They're not in the field with their flocks then. They do that in the late fall. So the birth date of Christ Jesus is not December 25th. The birth date of Nimrod, the birth date of all these other characters as well associated, which are different names for the same guy, is December 25th. See, the world has their celebrations. The children of God, we have our different timing. If you want to understand things in line with the timing of God, you've got to look at the feasts of God. Now, scripturally, there are seven feasts when you start talking about the feasts of God. Let me see here. So, I mean, you've got to start looking at at that aspect of what we deal with while we're here. So feasts of God, you've got Passover. You've got unleavened bread. You've got the Feast of First Fruits. You've got Pentecost. You've got the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All right? So, all right, I'll give them to you again. Some of you guys are writing these down. All right, so you've got Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. This, my brothers and sisters, is in line with the timing of God. Not December 25th. And to understand that, because see, even with Jesus, when Jesus was on the earth, what was he doing? What was the timing of Jesus when he was here? You remember, everything that Jesus did was in perfect union with God's timing. Not man's, God's timing. You remember when his brothers told him, they're like, Jesus, why don't you go up to the feast? Why don't you show yourself there? Why don't you go make yourself a big public figure? You know, if you're doing these miracles, why don't you go up there and do them? What did Jesus say? Look, any time is okay for you guys. But as for me, I got to be about God's perfect timing. Jesus did go to the feast, but he went to the feast in God's perfect time. Why? Because everything that Jesus did was in perfect timing with the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus was not crucified on Friday? Okay, now, there's one reason why churches sometimes have a hard time with me, because I will tell you the truth. And okay, Jesus was not crucified on Friday and raising from the dead on Sunday. Why? Because Jesus in his own words said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So if you simply put, first day of the week, if you count backwards, you can't get it on a Friday. Why? And you know why? Here's part of the reason why. Why this is important. Because all of this happened during Passover. All of this happened during God's perfect timing. And even with the resurrection of Christ Jesus, when you have Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is 50. Penta is 50. That's where you get the Pentagon, the five-sided building in the U.S. where they have all the military. That's where you get a pentagram. You get five-sided thing. Pentecost is the original. Pentecost, 50 days. So 50 days forward, after Jesus died on the cross, rose again, hung out with the people for 50 days. seen by people in groups, in small sessions, walking on the road with two here, there, one time appearing to over 500 people, giving them instruction, giving them understanding, showing them, teaching them, making sure that they understood the situation that was at hand. And then on Pentecost, and then Jesus went and he went up to heaven, and then on Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit came. The power of God came. The very Spirit that lives in me that allows me to speak like this to you. The Word of God came in power and in strength through His people. Fire from God came and works through and in us, giving us the power to be a witness, giving me right now the power to speak to you like this, where it cuts to the heart and you know that what I'm saying is the truth. Do you understand? Okay, so here, you got a little bit of an assignment. You need to go start looking these up. Here, I'll give you the feast again. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. See, here's the thing. Jesus, listen, December 25th, Christmas, does not have to do with Jesus. You know where December 25th, Christmas came from? December 25th, besides it being the birth date for Nimrod and Tammuz and going back to all these other things that relate back to the Babylonian mystery religion, you know where you get that from? You get that from AD 313, when Constantine, because when all the people that came before with Constantine, in as Rome was going forward, when their political empire was now struggling because the Church of the Living God was growing, was moving forward in power, moving forward in strength. They tried to persecute them, they couldn't put them out. They tried to kill them and they kept flourishing. Every time that they would feed them to the lions and more would shoot up. And every time that they tried to hurt them or destroy them, that early church just continued to grow and flourish and was moving, and they didn't know what to do with it. So what happened? 313 AD, Constantine. He made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. And what was the result of that? He merged and blended the two. So now, that which was apart and being persecuted by the state now became absorbed by and became the official religion of Rome. And what did they do? Well, they took days like Christmas. Today is the modern day observance, but they blended that, the pagan days, and they tried to put a Christian veneer on them. So December 25th now became the birth date of Christ, which it never was. Jesus was not born on December 25th, but it became for the purposes of the Roman state holding together, it became that. So now, today, in the modern day observance of what people call and title Christmas. Listen, my brothers and my sisters in Christ out there. All right, here's a good analogy for you. Say one of you. So, all right. Say you got a situation. You've got a man and a wife, right? So the man's name is Joe, and the wife's name is Susan. Now, also with Joe, this Joe ends up having an affair with a lady named Amy. All right. So Joe has an affair with Amy, but he's really married to Susan. Now, Susan loves Joe and does not want to lose Joe and wants to spend her life with Joe. So what she ends up doing is she ends up winning Joe back to himself. Can you imagine, though, if now, every time, when it's Amy's birthday, the birthday of the person that he had an affair with, that he now on Amy's birthday says, I'm going to celebrate your birthday, Susan. I'm going to, Susan, on Amy's birthday, I'm going to celebrate your birthday. And I'm going to do something where I'm talking about you and I'm going to be celebrating your birthday. You know, what kind of a situation that is. And, oh, but Susan, you really know my heart. You really know my heart, Susan. So you really know, you know, that I'm really doing it, but I'm thinking about you. That's what happens every Christmas. That's what happens every Christmas. People that say that they walk with God, people that say that call themselves Christians, are around the world celebrating the birth of Christ on the birth date of Nimrod and pagan and the pagan deities. And telling and saying, but Jesus, you know my heart. Just put it into a natural example. You tell me. What do you think? Why, if you really want to celebrate, why not do it on December 10th? Or why not January 15th? Why December 25th? Why? Why that day? Why are you so... Just you got to do it with everybody else, right? Right? Listen, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Allow the Spirit of God to guide you. See, here's the thing. When people that should be following truth, should be following the light, should be moving in the power and the things of God, but because they get watered down and get compromised and get pulled in and sucked into all of this garbage, and then one day the worlders turn around and say, hey, you guys look just like us. Hey, you guys celebrate December 25th just like us. And Jesus is, but you know what? No, Jesus is not like them. And you can tell because they have a hard time with Jesus. They have a hard time with Jesus. Jesus is the stumbling block for them. Jesus is the problem and the issue for them. But for us, Jesus Christ is our salvation. Jesus Christ is our light. Jesus Christ is our truth. Look, if you really have a heart for truth and you want to know the truth and you start digging, you're going to find it. You start looking, you're going to find it. You know, when you start looking into the things of God with Jesus Christ, you begin to understand. You know, there's over 300 different prophecies about who Jesus was going to be, how He would show up, what He would do, everything about His life, His birth, His life, His death and resurrection, all of that, over 300. One time I was reading through some people that are statistical analysis and people that were running the probabilities of even a person being able to fulfill 10 of the prophecies. And it's astronomical in and of themselves, let alone 100, let alone 200, let alone 300. Every time it multiplies to the realm of impossibility for anything in the natural. It is just the hand and the work of God. And then you take the Bible. My goodness, the Bible. The Scriptures. Scriptures. 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a 1500 year period of time. Everybody from slaves to kings. Written in Hebrew, in Greek, in Aramaic. Different languages, different places. All of it coming together, synthesized into one incredible, perfect book. Listen. I put a challenge to any one of you guys out there. You write something today that will be relevant to somebody 100 years from now. You write something today. You sit down. And you come up with 10 pages. You write 10 pages today in and of yourself that will be relevant to somebody 100 years from now, 30 years from now, 10 years from now, that somebody will find relevant. You see the hand of God. This is why the scripture says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. Because you've got to be an absolute fool to not see this. You've got to be an absolute idiot to not see this. You've got to be completely, you have to be a fool to not see this. And then when you see it, when your eyes are open, when you understand this is truth, and the truth will set you free, then you know that you, as a son and a daughter of God, that you can trust His Word, that you can apply His Word, that you can live in His Word. You understand that this is the truth, and the truth makes you free. And once you begin building your life on that truth, once your foundation is rooted and grounded in that truth, and you start building up, you build solid. Nothing can shake you. You know the promises of God, and you speak those promises and that truth over your life, and you watch. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. And why are they gates? Because we're the ones on the move. We're the ones moving forward. They're the ones on the retreat. They're the ones that are digging in and trying to hold on to whatever they can. Because why? Light is always more powerful than the darkness. The truth always cuts through the lie. You take a room, completely black room, one little light bulb, you turn it on, it floods that whole room. Why? Light always trumps darkness. Always. You know, God allows us in this dimension to live with a degree of balance so that people can make decision and make choice, and they can choose if they want to serve the light or the darkness. They can choose. If they want to serve the enemy, if they want to serve God. He does that. Because you can even see in the parable of the sower, when the enemy had sown that bad seed into the earth, and the angels offered, and they said, hey, look, God, we can just go uproot them right now. He said, nope, let them grow together. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest, you know, then you can uproot them. And then you separate them. Separate the tares and throw them into the fire to be burned. And separate the wheat and bring it into the barn. So, God allows for us to exist in this dimension and in this paradigm for a window of time, light and darkness existing together. The children of God, which I am, which you are, which we are, and the children of the devil and Satan, they're here too. And you know what? This is all part of God's plan, all part of God's doing, all part of God's design. And you, my brother and sister, you have been called to overcome. You've been called to rise up in the understanding and the knowledge and the truth of who you are. Root your feet in the truth. Stand up. Put your shoulders back. Know who you are. Speak the truth over your life. And resist the devil and he will flee. Speak the truth. You've been commanded in Jesus' name to go out, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. You've been instructed to go out, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to cast out the demons. We do that. And you know, Jesus said, greater works you'll do in my name. You know what? Right now, this is a greater work. Why? Because in Jesus' time, Jesus had to be, He was right there and people were cramming to try to get to Jesus. And right now, the Word of God this day can reach you anywhere in the world just like this. These are all things that are worked by the hand of God. We're doing it. For Him who has eyes to see, you can see we're doing it. The Spirit of God lives and moves and works through us. Understand the time and the season and get on God's plan. Get on with God's plan. Realize, look, listen, the world is going to keep doing what they're doing, all right? You make a choice. Choose life. Choose truth. Set that course and go for it. Don't ever look back. There's nothing back there for you. Don't ever look back. Go on with what God has for you. And be blessed. All right. Hey, we love you guys. We'll catch up with you sometime soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can reach us there. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Got a Facebook page, one word, search for Faith Mix. You'll find us. Keep on keeping on. We love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.